1 Kings chapter 16. Sermon 3 by Paul C. Jong. God's curse that comes upon those who rebuild the city of Jericho. 1 Kings chapter 16, verses 29 through 34. In the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah, Ahab the son of Omri became king over Israel. And Ahab the son of Omri reigned over Israel in Samaria 22 years. Now Ahab the son of Omri did evil in the sight of the Lord, more than all who were before him. And it came to pass, as though it had been a trivial thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, that he took as wife Jezebel the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Sidonians, and he went and served Baal and worshipped him. Then he set up an altar for Baal in the temple of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. And Ahab made a wooden image. Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel who were before him. In his days, Heel of Bethel built Jericho. He laid its foundation with Abiram his firstborn, and with his youngest son Segub, he set up its gates, according to the word of the Lord, which he had spoken through Joshua the son of Nun. In the northern nation of Israel, Ahab the son of Omri became king. This Ahab, who ruled northern Israel from Samaria for 22 years, did more evil than all who were before him. He regarded following the sin of Jeroboam as rather a trivial thing. He took as his wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Sidonians, served and worshipped Baal, set up an altar for Baal, and made a wooden image of Asherah. And so, the word testifies, he provoked the anger of the Lord God of Israel more severely than all the kings of Israel in their generations. King Ahab, who turned his back on God and served Baal. This Ahab is a king we know well. Ahab counted it a small thing even that Jeroboam had left God, changed the dates of the feasts, and failed to live by the statutes of God. Jeroboam had at least called on the name of the Lord and offered sacrifice to God after his own fashion. But Ahab went beyond that level altogether. He took as his wife Jezebel, the daughter of a man of the pagan region of Sidon who served Baal. He let his wife serve Baal, built a shrine of Baal inside the palace, carved wood into an image, raised an altar before it, and made bowing down to it official. It was not a matter of serving God somewhat incorrectly. He exchanged the Lord God outright for another God. In the days of King Ahab, northern Israel, from the king down to the people, became so corrupt that they became exactly like the pagan nations that do not know God. Elijah, the servant of God, raised up in an age when sin abounded. In this age, when sin abounded, God brought Elijah onto the scene. The servant of God Elijah appeared and showed all the people of northern Israel and southern Judah that the Lord God is the true God, and led the people of Israel before the Lord God. We can see that ministry through the word. Just at that time, in the days of King Ahab, a man named Heel, who lived in the region of Bethel, built the city of Jericho. When he laid its foundation, he lost his firstborn son, Abiram. And when he set up its gates, he lost his youngest son, Segub. And so, the writer of Scripture records, it came about according to the word the Lord had spoken through Joshua the son of Nun. God has set this event side by side with the days of King Ahab and left it for us on record, speaking to us through it. The fall of Jericho and the faith of Rahab. If we look at Joshua, Joshua sent two spies into the land of Canaan to spy it out. At that time, Jericho was an exceedingly strong city. Its walls were double, and archaeologists tell us they were wide enough for a great cart to pass along the top. But inside that city, there was a woman named Rahab. Rahab believed in the Lord, the God of Israel, who had come into the city. And by that faith, she hid the two spies. And she made a covenant with them. When this land was taken, she and her whole family were to be spared. The spies told her to gather into that house all who were to be saved, and to let a scarlet cord down from the window. They promised that the house from which the scarlet cord hung down would not be struck, and everyone inside it would be spared. After that, the people of Israel, with Joshua and the priests, marched around the city of Jericho once a day, and on the seventh day they marched around it seven times. Jericho was an impregnable city, but when they did as God had commanded, the priests going ahead, blowing the trumpets, marching around, and at the last, a great shout going up, its walls collapsed. The oath of cursing that Joshua left. As we know well, Jericho appears also in the parable of Jesus in Luke chapter 10, of a certain man who went down to Jericho and fell among robbers. The word Jericho refers to the world. After Joshua brought down the city of Jericho, he gathered all the people and gave command. Whoever laid again the foundation of the city of Jericho and built a city upon it would lose his firstborn son when he laid the foundation, and lose his youngest son when he hung its gates. Joshua chapter 6, verse 26 says this, Then Joshua charged them at that time, saying, Cursed be the man before the Lord who rises up and builds this city Jericho. He shall lay its foundation with his firstborn, and with his youngest he shall set up its gates. Joshua chapter 6, verse 26. Joshua had the people swear an oath and warn them, swearing in the name of the Lord. He said that whoever rose up and built the city of Jericho would be cursed before the Lord. Losing his firstborn son when he laid the foundation, and losing his youngest son when he set up the gates. To lose one's children, that is, he would take them away. God's command not to return to the world. This word is a word the Lord has given to you and me as well. It is a word the Lord commanded us with an oath, staking his own name. He swore by his own name that if we lay again the foundation of the city of Jericho, he tore down or set up its gates and build it. He will take our children. Yet in the days of King Ahab, a man named Heel ignored this command, laid again the foundation of the fallen city of Jericho, and built a city of brick upon it. What does it mean that he lost his firstborn son when he laid the foundation and lost his youngest son when he hung the gates? It is God's oath and command that he will do the same to us, righteous people who have been saved. We born-again people can also stumble, but we must stumble within the Lord. We must not go out into the world. God cut off our heart that was turned toward this world and did away with our old existence in the world. If we go out into the world again to succeed, chase the wealth of the world, and try to live well in the world, if we cast God aside and set every purpose of our life on the world, God says he will take our children. This is a tremendously fearful word. To take a person's children is the same as to take his whole estate. God's solemn warning that he will take the children. You and I must keep this word firmly in mind. If a person has been saved out of the world and yet goes out into the world again, God surely takes his firstborn son. If even then he does not come to his senses and keeps going out into the world, God takes the next child as well, the child who would carry on the line. This is not a human word. It is the word of command. God swore by his own name, saying he will surely do so. One can fall into some temptation. Even so, we must not turn our hearts back to the world as before and pile up the things of the world. This word applies to us today as well, and there are believers who have already gone through it. This is a gathering of young people, and most of you are not yet married. But if in days to come you marry and bear children, and your heart goes out into the world, and like King Ahab, you seek to succeed in the world, God will take those children. What this word teaches us is not to lay a foundation again in the city of Jericho, and not to set up gates there. It is that we should not undertake to achieve some success in the world. Since we have been saved out of this evil generation, let us no longer set our hope or purpose on this evil generation, but live serving the gospel. The wretched end of Ahab and Jezebel. King Ahab cast God away and gave up serving God. In the end, King Ahab also died wretchedly, and Jezebel met a horrible end. Jezebel was thrown down from the wall by her own servant, and just as God had prophesied through the lips of Elijah, her corpse became food for the beasts, and there was not even enough left to gather up and bury. Ahab likewise went out to war, was struck by an arrow, and died, and his blood was disposed of just as God had said. Not one of the words God spoke fell to the ground. They were fulfilled just as they were. What do we learn through King Ahab and through Heel, who lost his eldest son and his youngest son while building the city of Jericho? That we born-again people, lacking though we are, must give our strength to the preaching of the gospel. However evil, weak, and lacking we may be, the one heart that would forsake the Lord, go out into the world and succeed in the world, that we must cast away without fail. That can never be accepted. The devil's temptation that draws us toward the world. Satan the devil often works on us like this. Now that you have received salvation, fold up your life of faith and go out into the world and try again. If you try again, you can do well. So he tempts us. But what becomes of the person who actually follows that heart and goes out into the world? If we look at the book of Ruth, Naomi leaves Bethlehem to escape the famine, loses both her sons, and returns to God. In the end, from the righteous who seek to prosper and succeed in the world, God takes their children and tears down the Tower of Babel they have piled up in the world. Therefore, we cannot do so. However hard and difficult things are, other matters may go this way or that, but going out into the world to achieve success of my own, that alone must not be. Long ago, when I was ministering in the provinces, there was a couple, a brother and sister, like this. When the couple had paid into a savings pool and reckoned that if they saved for some years, it would come to such and such an amount, they made up their minds to stop attending church and did not come to worship. I visited them many times and exhorted them, but they would not come, making this excuse and that. Being human, they could do so. It would have been far better to attend church and ask God for blessing, but they clung only to that calculation and made light of the faith. But about a month after they left the church, a rumor went around the village. That brother was getting drunk every evening and wandering about all night. What use is all the saving? With the husband drinking every day, that money in the end is all scattered and goes out in hospital bills. The plan they had set up went wrong like that. Living for the gospel is the believer's right answer. God swore himself that he would surely do this to the person who builds the city of Jericho and sets up its gates. And he commanded us not to do so. This is a command given to the born again and to the servants of God. Even a servant of God cannot say he has no desire at all to go out into the world. Servants have such a heart, and so do brothers and sisters. Nevertheless, we must not, like King Ahab, turn our backs on God and the church and serve Baal. Baal is the god said to make you rich in this world, and Asherah the god said to give you many children. What we would seek if we turned our backs on God and the church and went into the world is likewise to prosper. Get rich and be happy. So it is no different from serving Baal and Asherah. The born again must live for the gospel. Whether we amount to something or not, we lay all that down. Living for the gospel is precisely the right answer for a Christian. However lacking and weak a person is, if he lives for the gospel, he scores 100. Conversely, however good and gentle and well-mannered he may be, and however well he seems to carry on his religious life, if he lives without doing the work of preaching the gospel, he scores 0. Still more, if he casts God aside, turns his back on the church, and goes out into the world, God surely pursues him and repays. This is the command God has sworn. Some brothers and sisters conclude on their own that since they have received salvation, that is enough, and go out into the world. When I exhort them, and they have firmly decided and go, I do not force them back. That matter is God's to handle, and that person will face it before God. But it must not be so. However lacking we are, we must preach the gospel, be united within the church and within God, and live serving the gospel. Then God gives blessing. Only then do we have any prospect. If God determines to strike, who can escape his hand? In this one thing, living for the gospel, we must be well pleasing before God. Draw the line in your heart and cut off the devil's shaking. Is this word fearful to you? It ought to be feared. Does not Satan the devil put into your heart the thought of going out into the world? If you take that road, your future becomes more wretched than now. This is not my word. Though you earn with all your might, build a picture-perfect house on the green meadow, and bear children and live there. If God takes those children, what joy is left? What use is money? Other words are exhortations that we should live thus, and words that our Lord has saved us. But this word is God's oath, that he will surely do this to us. Therefore, we must remember this word as an oath. Even if the devil gives you the heart to go out into the world, do not yield that far. Never negotiate with the word that it is all right to live with your back turned on God. Within Christ, everything is possible and grace can be received. But once you leave, it is the end. In fact, of those who left the church and did not serve the Lord God, but served other gods, nothing has ever turned out well. Only the living God is the true God. The other petty gods are not gods, but only devils. So this much we must keep firmly in mind. The one thing we must never do is leave or compromise. Somehow or other, we must live with God, with the gospel, with the church, preaching the gospel all our life long, and then go before the Lord. We must preach this gospel to our neighbors, to our schoolmates and workmates, and to everyone above and below us. We must draw a clear line in our hearts. Jesus said to Peter that Satan had asked to sift him like wheat. That is exactly how the devil shakes our hearts. When wheat is winnowed, the chaff flies outside and the kernels come inside. The devil shakes the heart of the born-again righteous to drive it outside. But in this we must not yield. We must settle it in our hearts. If we die within the church. If we live within the church. If we prosper within God. And if we fail within God. Every time the devil gives us such a heart, we must draw that line and draw it again. I too, when I had not been born again for long, often felt like giving it all up whenever things were hard. But I could not do so, and so I did not quit. If I had, it would have been disastrous. Drawing this line was truly difficult. Perhaps I will have to preach this word to you often. Especially in this age, there are many who will leave, and many even among the servants of God who will leave, so it must be preached all the more often. Build not the city of Jericho, but the city of Jerusalem. Everyone, will it do to set our hearts on the city of Jericho? Will it do for us to repair and stack again the fallen bricks of the city of Jericho that God tore down? Shall we rebuild this world that God is destroying? Let us not build the city of Jericho again. What we must build is the city of Jerusalem. We must give our strength to building the Jerusalem of southern Israel, the temple of God. Whether we live or die, we must live for the preaching of the gospel, laboring and toiling for the gospel and serving the Lord, and so meet our Lord. This is right faith and the right way. If you are weak, be weak within the church and weak within God. If you set your heart on leaving the church and going into the world to try something, know for certain that God begins this work. I hope you will live the rest of your life with the firm faith that if you die, you die within God. And if you live, you live within God, determined somehow to live together with God and the church. Let me close the word here.